tonight. Turn to the book of Ruth. We're going to start in chapter 1. We're going to read, starting with verse 1 down through verse 5. Beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you again tonight. God, I just thank you so much for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. God, I thank you so much for another opportunity to stand and to speak. Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you've done for me. God, I thank you so much for what you did on the cross for all of us, God. I just thank you for that day 3 years ago tomorrow that I finally came to a point of being lost and accepted you, God. And I pray and I just thank you so much for saving my soul. Lord, I just beg, Lord, now that you forgive me where I fail you. God, just help me tonight. Help me to stand up here and just hide me behind your cross, God. God, I pray that they don't see me standing here, but they hear your Holy Spirit speaking tonight. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit come down and just meet with us. God, that you just touch somebody's heart here tonight. Lord, whatever need they have, God, I pray that they can find help tonight. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. I ask you to anoint my lips, God. Don't let anything come out of my mouth that shouldn't. Lord, I pray you just give me the words and give me the strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just give you a little history tonight on where we're at here in the book of Ruth. This is during the time of the judges, believed to be the first part of Judges, was when the time of Ruth was. And to go a little further back in the book of Joshua, the land was divided amongst the 12 tribes, and they were told, you conquer the entire land. They failed to do this. They didn't do what they were told, and because of that, ended up living amongst the tribes that were already occupying the promised land when they took it. The reason they were told to conquer the whole land was because God knew that if they were intermixed with these other people, that they would start rubbing off on the Jews, and they would begin to start worshiping their God, start living as they do. So when they failed to do this, as we read all through Judges, a cycle began. And it's still to this day that the cycle with the Jewish people is their sin, then their servitude, then they make supplication, and then their salvation. And then it started over. Each judge that was brought forth was because they had got to the point where they were in servitude and were making supplication. Now, where we're at in Ruth is a time of a great famine. It's actually believed to be about the time of the first judge. And you got to kind of picture this in your head at this famine, how the crops were being killed. Because of that, animals were dying. And because of that, people were dying. There was nothing to eat. Now, I've never been to a point where I didn't have anything to eat, so I can't sympathize with what it must have been like. But I can only imagine how bad it really was to be there during this famine. And you got this fellow, Elimelech. He's got his family here, and he does what any man would have done, which was stand back and say, I need to do something here for my family. We're going to have to do something. They're going to die. And to read this, you see what he does, and you kind of like, man, that was foolish. And it was. It was foolish for him to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab. But he was to a point where we can't put down on him because he made a decision to do something. But the decision he made cannot be justified. He shouldn't have did what he had done. But regardless, he takes his family to Moab. And, we read there and we see what happens. He dies. Then his two sons end up dying. And Naomi's left alone. All she has is her two daughter-in-laws. So I want to consider the message tonight, leaving the land of blessings. First of all, I want to talk about what it will do to you as an individual. And you picture in your head this land of blessing, Bethlehem, Judah. It's the house of bread. That's what that stands for. But you imagine tonight, this is a house of blessings. This is where we come to worship God. Now, in the world in which we live today, we hear a lot of people leaving churches, going to other churches, some not going to any church at all, just giving up completely. They are leaving the land of blessings. I hear people all the time talking about, I don't like the messages that the pastor's preaching. It's just not working for me. Or, me and somebody else, we don't get along. I don't get along with those people, and, it's just best if I don't go there. There's excuse after excuse, and some are just plain lazy. They just don't have an excuse and don't care to have one. They're just not coming to church anymore. But they've left that land of blessing. What they don't realize is, just like Elimelech, he made this choice to go into Moab. He left the land of blessing. And he went into an area that the Bible says that God calls his washpot. This place was really low in God's eyes. If we actually went back and looked at the history and seen where the name Moab came from, you would be shocked. I won't go that far back into the history, but the name Moab was a name of a man who was born in one of the most sinful ways through incest. But his family was starving, so he made the decision to move them here because his thinking was, that's not God's promised land. God's doing this to us, so let's go over there. How many people can we think of today that are done with God because of something that's happened and they're blaming him for the troubles or the trials they're having? And they're giving up. They're done. This is the same thing Elimelech did. He knew that the judgment of God was this famine because of the way that everybody was living. So let's get out of here. Let's get away from it. God is not in that land. Let's go. So he takes them. We see what happens to Elimelech. He dies. I have people, I know plenty of people, I have family members that no longer will go to church because of one particular incident that happened. And they just can't get past that. They won't even try another church. I know of plenty of people who used to be faithful Baptist church members who are now in a non-denominational setting where if you go in there, you will never hear the words hell, salvation, or anything like that mentioned. The preaching there is all geared toward God is love, God is friendly, he's your friend, he'll help you. And he is. He's all of those things. But
There has to, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, because in our human state, we are going to hell. And that has to be taught. That's a blessing. So we have all these people leaving the land of blessing to get away for whatever reason. But we see, just as Elimelech did, these people are dying. Maybe not physically dying, but spiritually they are dying if they aren't already spiritually dead. Elimelech, his name actually means "my God is king." That tells me he knew better. He was from Bethlehem, Judah. He knew better. But he made a hasty decision for his family. It can't be justified. Nothing he can say or do can justify the fact that he left and went to Moab and took his family with him. But that, you know, we look at what it will do to a person individually. The main thing is the spiritual death. Eventually, physical death. The Bible makes that clear. For the wages of sin is death. Is it a sin to turn your back on God? Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you're saved. If you're a Christian and you know it, you turn your back on God, that's a big deal. So, we see what it'll do to an individual. Now, let's look at what it'll do to a family. For us to leave the land of blessings, what will happen to a family? We look at his sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They married Moabite women. That's forbidden. In Deuteronomy 7 and 3, 4. And if you want to, let's turn there, because I'm going to read that. It makes a very good point. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Bible says in verse 3, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." He makes it pretty clear. He will destroy thee suddenly. So we see that they did that. And we look at what I like to refer to the sins of the father. Elimelech took them there. But his sons married these Moabite women. And you see what happens to them. They die. Now it says that it was 10 years from the time of Elimelech's death till they got married and died. So if you kind of just generalize, how old were they when they came in? Well, if they were 10 when they came to Moab, they were 20 when they were married and died. They could have actually been younger. People were married younger back in these days. So you got to almost think they were probably kids. They were probably little children when Elimelech moved them. So they grew up outside of the Jewish traditions. They grew up outside of the promised land. All they knew was what it was to live in Moab. That's where they grew up. The children they played with, they were Moabites. They were not Jewish kids. The traditions they adhered to and the morals that they saw lived by were not of the Jewish faith. They were from the Moabites. So having these children raised around that, they didn't know any better. It doesn't say whether just because Elimelech and Naomi moved to Moab that he still taught them the way of God. It doesn't say that. I beg to differ that that didn't happen, because Elimelech dies and 10 years pass until they get married. That 10-year span was probably their teenage years, when we all know that's when we come to be who we are. That's when we make some of the most pivotal decisions in our lives that will set our future. So knowing that, you gotta imagine, like I said, this is the land of blessing. We take our children out of this and we raise them in another church with different doctrine or nothing at all, they are doomed. They will not know better. Now, that's not to say that God can't save them, because we all know He can. He can reach the vilest of sinners who have never heard the word and save them on the spot the very first time. But their chances are very, very lower if they're not raised under the right teaching. So to take our children out of this land of blessing, we're hurting them. We have a responsibility. I'm a new parent. We have a responsibility to raise our children so they'll return to God, to Him. I want my daughter to be saved. I already pray for her salvation because I know how hard it is. It is hard enough for a child that is raised under the doctrine and the right teaching in church to make the right decisions in this world anyway, much less to have never heard it and try to make those same decisions. It's no secret I worked in a high school, and I saw plenty of kids who I knew grew up in a church. I knew their parents. I know they went to church, but they still made bad decisions. So you can imagine what it was like for these kids who have never heard it. They all they know is right from wrong that the world teaches. And you and I both know that's getting extremely skewed nowadays. Right and wrong to some people is very far-fetched. So that's just what it'll do to your kids. Look at what it did to Naomi, the wife. She was left. She was the only one left. Now, these sons, did they die because they were taken to Moab by their father? No. They died because they married Moabite women and lived the Moabite way. And it made it very clear in Deuteronomy 7 that God will take thee suddenly. I paraphrase that. But we look at Naomi, and all I can see when I read that is that it destroyed a family. It utterly destroyed a family. She was left by herself. You want to see something destroy a family quick? You see a family that was once spiritual become spiritually dead. And it doesn't take too long until there ain't no more family. They might not physically die, but they won't be together much longer. I don't think anybody in here would be shocked if I say sometimes the only glue that holds us together as families is Jesus. It can get tough at times. It can get really hard. And sometimes He's all that we have. He's where we turn. We get to a point and something bad's happened at home. You know, whether it be with you got a child who's just gone out of the way and is just evil and outdoing everything. And all you can do is pray. Because you've said and you've talked to your blue in the face. You've raised them right. So all you have left is to take it to God. If you don't have that anymore, or if you don't nurture that relationship with God, it will die. It's a perishable thing. He will always be there. You are the one that walks away. And it takes a long time to get back. It's hard. We don't know what we're going to face as a church, as a family, as just personally. We have no idea what we're going to face. But the guarantee we have, as long as we stay in the land of blessings, we will be fine. Because once we walk away from the land of blessings, like I said, He's still there, but we get this sense that we're on our own. And that's what Elimelech did. Let's make our own way. Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. That's the truth. So consider it today. I know we all know people. I can think of several just off the top of my head that have left the land of blessings. I talk to some of them all the time, and I hear all the excuses they will use to not come back. But in the end, they're going to need this land of blessing. When the time comes and the end is close, the Bible speaks of a great falling away. And we don't know how bad that's going to get. We can only imagine. But it could get to a point where the only relief we will have is to come to this place of blessing and cry out to a holy God for help. And He will be the only thing that will help us or sustain us at that point. So that's all I have tonight. That's what the Lord has given me tonight for y'all.